A judge has imposed the same 14-year prison sentence on former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. The defense asked the judge to reduce the sentence to just 5 years. Prosecutors, though, asked the judge to leave it the same. He went to jail back in 2012 and was convicted for trying to exchange an appointment to President Obama's old U.S. Senate seat for campaign cash.
Hillary wants to essentially abolish the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. It is 5:09 and it is Wednesday. It's August 10th, 2016. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day, midweek, hump day, as we move into the middle of the week. Seems like the week's flying by, doesn't it? You heard Donald Trump there in the opening montage of news stories. You're going to undoubtedly hear a lot about that today, as this debate is nowhere near being over. Lots of discussion coming up on the Steve Cochran Show, probably from that. Undoubtedly from that, and throughout the day as the fallout continues from Donald Trump's latest comments. The Olympics also still in full swing. Congratulations to Connor Dwyer of Winnetka, winner of one of the gold medals last night in swimming. Connor, I had the opportunity to interview him during the last Olympics, a wonderful athlete, great ambassador for the Chicago area. Congratulations, another gold medal for Connor Dwyer of Winnetka. Let's hit the numbers, the other numbers that are important to you today from the markets around the world, from the WGN Market Desk. The Dow futures pointing up just about 5 points this morning. It's another one of those mornings where the markets are looking for direction. The S&P and NASDAQ futures are higher just a little as well. Overseas in Europe and Asia, Europe seems to be all down. All of the indices are down. Not by a whole lot, but still all of the arrows pointing down there. Mixed situation in Asia. The Nikkei up about 30, down about 30 points. The Hang Seng up about 30 points. So it's a give or take there. Here are some of the big stories from the business desk making news this morning. In addition to the markets, the major economic report due out from the government today. Labor Department releases its job openings and labor turnover survey for June this morning. May was a bad month for the U.S. labor market, with employers adding fewer jobs and hiring fewer people. Hiring did, however, bounce back in June as employers added the most jobs since October. So we'll see how things are faring in the latest monthly report. At Disney, content appears to be king. The media conglomerate studio entertainment, including popular films like Finding Dory, The Jungle Book, and the Marvel saga Captain America, all helped propel the company. Third quarter profit above expectations. The Walt Disney cable and broadcast channels like ESPN and ABC remain weak, however. The big story is with ESPN, the number of subscribers to that service down as more cable cutters take over the market. It is the latest company hit by these cable cutters. DirecTV, Dish Network also hit within the last couple of years. More than a half million or more people who are subscribers to these services have quit and said bye-bye. They've cut the cord. They've gone to tablets, other things that they can do on-demand subscriptions for. The other story we're following today is with vehicles. Ford is, again, at the forefront of putting some new technology in vehicles to help you ride around better and, unfortunately, listen to FM radio, not AM radio. There is a new antenna, reception antenna for Ford vehicles, and it's going to help you hear FM signals better and clearer. Joining us this morning on the Opening Bell, Andy Adrian, who's a reception antenna engineer for Ford. Andy, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I was a little disappointed that you didn't have a better AM radio antenna, but I guess we'll deal with this because obviously we're an AM station. But tell us a little bit about the FM radio signal and what it is about and why you have done this.
So, yeah, what really drove this was our HD radio product. And with HD radio on FM, I think the people that have it are aware you start to you get these short dropouts that occur. Sometimes it flips from the digital signal to the analog, or especially if you're listening to one of those HD2 or HD3 subchannels, it just disappears every time. But periodically, couple seconds comes back. In an effort to eliminate that frustration and dropout, we've added a second antenna and a second receiver in the car on FM, so we can look at both channels at the same, or both receivers, both listening to the same channel at the same time, and then make sure that we process the signal so we greatly reduce those dropouts.
This obviously was you were getting complaints about this, obviously.
Yes, we were getting some complaints. This is one of the things we do watch how people comment about our vehicles and what they think works well, what doesn't work well, and this is one of the things that wasn't working well.
Tell me a little bit about the actual system, because I don't have an HD radio in my vehicle. Is this standard pretty much in most Ford vehicles? I know you're going to start it with the Escape and Fusion with the newer antenna, but is this HD radio pretty much standard in new vehicles these days?
It's not standard yet. It's common, and when you get into higher end audio systems, things like branded audio and the like. So we end up, you know, it is an add on option right now. The way the marketing guys put it out, as an engineer, I get to design it. I don't get to say how they sell it, unfortunately.
Well, and we want to take advantage of your engineering skills. I have a couple more questions for you about this from an engineering standpoint about how you did it, and we'll get some more of that as we continue our conversation this morning with Andy Adrian. He's a reception antenna engineer. What a great title for Ford. And we're talking about the new antenna FM radio signal antenna for Ford vehicles.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, I'm Dave Schreiber. Asian markets meandered today in a post-earnings season lull as investors waited for U.S. retail sales later in the week. Samsung Electronics, the leader in the global chip and smartphone industries, is South Korea's biggest company with about 100,000 workers. An Associated Press investigation found South Korean officials let Samsung withhold from sick workers and their families crucial information about chemicals they were exposed to at its computer chip and display factories. Delta Airlines says some of its systems have not fully recovered from the outage that took place the other day. More delayed flights and cancellations are possible today. Stocks closed almost flat on Wall Street. That followed an up-and-down day in which investors went over some of the final earnings reports of the season. The Dow rose 4 points. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 520 now, and we're on with Andy Adrian, a reception engineer, antenna engineer for Ford Motor Company, talking to us today about the new dual FM radio receivers coming out with the new 2017 Escape and Fusion. Andy, I really do think your title's cool, reception antenna engineer. The way that you guys have done this, we put out a tweet just a minute ago, but explain to us how you have sort of this is almost a hidden advancement, isn't it? You've got this sort of in the heater grid of the back window.
Right. We put the main antennas on the roof as you're used to seeing it on our Escape and Fusion, but the secondary antenna for FM is actually hidden as part of the back window heater grid. So, you know, the same thing that defrosts your rear window. So that piece of grid actually does double duty as an FM antenna now.
When you test something like this, do you go and you drive through caves and tunnels and all of the other places that you normally hear dropouts?
And that's basically about it. We look for the places that, you know, effectively your reception goes away and fails, you know, the worst case. And, you know, we keep comparing it to what are some of our standards in our best vehicles. And, you know, pretty much when you're comparing cars, the car that, as we say, fails the least is the one that's better in these cases, and typically that's what helps your situation. It's what we call our corner cases, and that's where you kind of differentiate your performance from our competition.
And so this is the way I understand this. This was an opportunity not just to improve the reception of the radio, but the sound of the audio as well is going to be a little bit different. Tell us about that.
Right. So we've added what we call an A2B bus. It's a product that's driven by Analog Devices Incorporated. They make a link, so we used to, every audio channel would have to run on a shielded twisted pair of wire. So the front right speaker, the front left speaker, the rear right, the rear left, the subwoofer. And every time you add the wiring in another amp, you start to add a little more noise, a little more distortion to your system. So what we end up doing now from the head, from the point the signal comes in and out of the head unit, it's digitally encoded. So now we're not adding that extra noise. We're not adding the extra wires. We save some weight, and you get a better sound all the way through the system.
It's one of those things that we wish we could show and let people hear on the radio, but I think it would sort of lose the ability. But this is almost the way I understand it. You've created a system, or this system will give such clear sound, it'll be like you're almost in a concert hall.
Right, and we spend a lot of time, you know, once the vehicle, we work on making the vehicles quiet, and then we have audio engineers that spend a lot of time tuning the sound you get in the vehicle so that what you hear at the driver's ear is really, you know, get you as close as possible to, you know, to the live music scenario.
I'm guessing that you chose the Escape and the Fusion for specific reasons to debut this, right? The Escape is a pretty popular vehicle.
It is a popular vehicle, and so is the Fusion. So it's, you know, it's a great place to put this out and keep, I guess, you know, from a marketing perspective, you know, we want to build up that volume and build excitement around the new vehicle.
Are you happy that you still have a job in this century when everybody seems to be listening to devices and iPods and iPads? People are still listening to the radio in their cars, aren't they?
That is true. For example, we haven't changed, you know, the number of radio stations in this country really hasn't changed in the last 20 years. It's been really stable. In fact, there was a point in time where the number of AM radio stations actually went up. So when you look at it, you know, cell phones and things like that and tablets are great, but, you know, the cell phone system just doesn't have the capacity to put out all that entertainment that you get on AM and FM radio.
I think I saw Nielsen's study that said still fully 93% of Americans still listen to the radio weekly, and we're betting a lot of people hopefully listening to the radio in their cars.
They do. Most of the listening happens in your car on the way to work, on the way from work, and especially when you get out into places, you know, Chicago's got great cell phone coverage. No matter where you go, you're going to be covered. But when you get off the interstates out in some more sparsely populated parts of the country, that cell phone coverage just isn't there. So radio is your real delivery mechanism for music, entertainment, and news.
What are the biggest challenges to getting a clear signal in like some of the other just regular vehicles that you've seen as you've developed technology over the years? Because as we drive around, sometimes, you know, you'll run under power lines or bridges. Or what is the biggest impedance to having a clear signal in the radio?
We actually spend a lot of time for AM radio looking at the electromagnetic compatibility. You know, you've got all these electronic modules on cars, and we need to make sure that they're not interfering with the AM radio system, and that can be pretty tough.
There was a time when I remember some of the car companies, including Ford, were thinking about removing AM radio from radios and vehicles. Is that still on the table?
Not at Ford. I couldn't imagine a day where we'd remove AM radio from the vehicles you see here in the U.S.
Are you working on any sort of improvements for that technology?
Not a lot of improvement. Like I said, the big time, we spend a lot of effort every new car trying to make sure that interference isn't there, because that is the biggest, most largest task we have, to make sure you get a good AM radio reception on your car.
One of the drawbacks to having a really good system in your vehicle is you might get lost in the sound and forget about driving. I know it's sort of happened to me on occasion. Is that something that you take into consideration when you develop these technologies?
Actually, it's not something I worry about, but I know what you're talking about. And, you know, if we can make the system that good where people forget about the fact they're driving or where they're headed to and get lost in the music, that we've done a really good job. I think we're happy with it.
Well, this is an interesting discussion, and this is going to start with a 2017 vehicle, so these are probably cars that are hitting the showrooms now, right?
Right. Their cars will be hitting the showrooms now. In fact, these features, when we talk a little bit about that dual FM, because we spent the time on HD, you get that similar kind of improvement on the analog side of FM as well. So people who get this option will see not only their HD improved, but will also see improvements in the number of dropouts and interference on FM.
Andy Adrian, reception antenna engineer at Ford. Keep up the good work, Andy, and thanks for being with us this morning on the Opening Bell.
No, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Great. You could read more about this, by the way, at Ford Motor Company online, Ford.com. There's also some links that we'll put out and show you some more in-house stuff that Ford has put out about this with these new vehicles. Again, the dual HD FM radio signals and antenna boosting range and clarity on the 2017 Escape and Fusion.
From ABC News Tech Trends, I'm Alex Stone. Pay once and play anywhere. Video game makers are moving away from the one home box that you play video games on. Yeah, there have been Game Boys and PSP mobile devices, but now the goal among the big companies is to let consumers play no matter where they are and make the experience seamless.
You get to own it and play it on both Xbox One and Windows 10 PC.
Rod Ferguson with Microsoft making this summer's announcement of Xbox Play Anywhere. You can play a game on Xbox and it will save and open right where you stopped when you play it on a PC.
With your progress and your achievements saved on Xbox Live and shared across both platforms, all at no additional cost to you.
Now, it'll only work on certain games made by Microsoft Studios with an icon defining them as cross-platform. Xbox Play Anywhere launches in September. The idea is untethering the video game player. With Tech Trends, I'm Alex Stone, ABC News.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. What if a text message could help solve an epidemic of disease? There is a new study out, new research, actual physical results that show it possibly could. In India, researchers have spent a better part of the last year sending text messages, twice daily text messages to people, telling them to exercise, to watch what they eat. And believe it or not, it's had a real impact on the fight against diabetes in India. India is a country that's really battling with this in a big scale, diabetes. And this study has a Chicago connection. The folks at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine were involved with this, along with another group that helped put all of this into place. The program called M-Diabetes, Argoya World, is the organization that is at the heart of this. And they won a 2011 Clinton Global Initiative funding to do this, and so they have been doing it. And this morning we're joined by one of the lead researchers on this from Northwestern's Feinberg School of Medicine, Angela Fidler-Famater, and she is with us on the telephone this morning. Professor, if you could give us a sense of how this worked and what kind of results you saw, because these results are pretty stunning, are they not?
Sure. So the burden of diabetes worldwide is pretty enormous at this point. We know that there's about 340 million people living with diabetes in the world. And unfortunately, about 80% of those cases are in low and middle income countries. And these are countries that have very little resources, maybe not great public health messaging like we do here in the U.S. And so we thought, wouldn't it be great if we could reach a large number of people, no matter what language they spoke, no matter where they lived geographically, with something as simple as a mobile phone. So we developed a set of simple text messages that addressed diabetes prevention behaviors like eating and exercise. And we offered it up to the Indian population through one of our partners, Nokia. And it turns out 1 million people opted into this program called M-Diabetes. It was cut off because it really got too big. The servers could no longer handle it. And we thought, wow, this is a really great opportunity to evaluate the effectiveness of this program. We really need to sample part of this population and test whether or not these people actually change their behaviors and compare them to a control group that did not get the messages. So that's what we did. And we showed that people that received the text messages for 6 months reported a decrease in their fat intake, an increase in their fruit and vegetable intake, and that our experimental group got better compared to our control group.
So tell me what these text messages said. Give me an example of one of them, and how often did you send them?
Sure. So through some of our preliminary work, we found that individuals living in India really wanted messages that were quite directive or prescriptive. So they really just gave information about what diabetes was, what some of the complications were, and what they could do to prevent it. So it might say, did you know you need 5 fruits and vegetables a day? Did you know that some of the more traditional foods in India have high fat and that can lead to diabetes? And they receive them twice a day.
And so how were you able to tell that this actually had an impact? Did you follow up with in-person interviews or on-the-phone surveys? How did you do that?
Yeah, so we surveyed a little over 1,800 people in total. So we did it all by phone for efficiency's sake. And I should note that the text messages and the interviews were done in 12 different languages because India itself has 27 formal languages. So it was all done by phone. We interviewed individuals about their health behaviors before they received any of the text messages, and then again after at 6 months. And in our control group, we did something similar. We interviewed them first about their health behaviors, waited 6 months and did nothing, and then interviewed them again.
Did you get a sense from talking to them what about the text messages, push them to be healthier?
You know, that part's hard to say. I would say that the because we wanted the interviews to be very standardized, we didn't get into too much detail about why the individuals did or did not engage in a particular behavior. It was really just running through a very quick survey. We also wanted to be mindful of their time and using minutes on their mobile phones.
You chose India, obviously, because it has a problem with diabetes, right? How bad is diabetes in India?
So the prevalence of diabetes in India is reaching about 62 million people. And that's out of a population of 900 million. So it's quite a heavy burden in India.
Is this the first time that a mobile phone or mobile technology has been used in this way? And what does it say about the future of using it in other instances?
I wouldn't say that this is the first way the first time that it's been used in this sort of way. I think we've been using text messages as a way to disseminate health information for quite a while now in various aspects. I would say that this is the first time it's been done in a low middle income country using basic mobile phones in this sort of a way. And I think it has the potential to really reach a large population that is distributed across a wide geographic region, and it's particularly useful when you need to send out information in multiple languages. You can imagine how difficult it is to mount a public health initiative if you have to translate it into several different languages and then get it to people in both urban and rural areas. And because mobile phones are now available in places that lack basic infrastructure like sanitation and whatnot, it really does have the potential to really reach a lot of individuals that may not otherwise have access to public health messaging or health resources in general.
And this could be applied to all kinds of diseases or just non-communicable diseases.
Oh, sure. It can, be applied to a range of things. We do other research in the obesity realm, but certainly text messages have been used for things like medication adherence, weight loss tips, getting vaccines. It really runs the gamut.
Angela Fidler-Famatter is an associate professor at a research assistant professor at the Feinberg School of Medicine at Northwestern University with us on the phone this morning, one of the lead researchers in the M-Diabetes study in India. It is worth going back and highlighting something that we really didn't focus on there. These are not smartphones. These are basic mobile phones, the old phones that you may have remembered 10 years ago. flip phones that just have basic text SMS message on them. And here are some more stats about this. Believe it or not, in India, more than 90% of the population has this basic phone. They don't really have a lot of smartphones there. There's a lot of poverty, obviously, involved. 40% of the country suffers from cancers, 80% of heart disease and diabetes. So it's a huge issue. The reason this is so important, too, according to Northwestern, is because there are other parts of the world where there are similar situations where people don't have smartphones. All they have are the basic phones. If this works in this situation, it could work not only with smartphones, but in other places of the world where all people have is access to these very basic phones. You can read more about this, by the way, online. There is much more information. You can visit the Feinberg School of Medicine at NU Feinberg Med. And you can also visit Aroya World at AROGYAworld.org. We're going to link on Twitter as well to this. But an amazing program. But nearly 15% of the people involved in this reported that they actually got up and ate more fruits and vegetables. 11% did more daily exercise. And a huge percentage actually saw diabetes prevention in India as part of this program.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 549 on the WGN market desk this morning. Dow futures still looking for direction. Futures only up 2 points. S&P futures up just a point. NASDAQ futures up 2 points. Not really much movement anywhere except in Europe overnight. Most of the indices there are lower, some by as much as 0.5%. Let's find out what's going on in the commodities world. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Make it 10 days in a row that the U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced sales of over 100,000 tons of soybeans on a daily basis. Yesterday, 120,000 tons of U.S. soybeans were sold, and that did keep the soybean market a little bit higher. Most of the grains traded higher during the session, but faded during the day, with wheat down 0.5 cents a bushel, and the September corn contract down 2.5, a new crop December down 1.5 cents. But soybeans ended the day higher thanks to that continued strong export demand. The August contract up 4.25 cents, a new crop November beans ended the day higher up 3.25 cents. The trade at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange in livestock futures yesterday saw the cattle market come back for a pretty good day. August live cattle gaining 7 cents, but October live cattle up 65 cents a hundredweight at $115.30. And the August feeder cattle contract up $1.40 at $150.52. Only the August lean hog contract was higher, and that was up just a dime. The rest of the months were lower. The Boone County Fair at Belvedere continues today, along with the Wisconsin State Fair at West Allis, the Indiana State Fair at Indianapolis. And oh yes, this is National Farmers Market Week. So visit a farmer's market in your community and meet the people who produce your food. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a good day as well. We have a couple of other news notes for you on this edition of The Opening Bell. And first, we begin with Delta Airlines. As we've been mentioning in news, so we want to let you know, Delta's still have problems of 90 flights canceled this morning, according to Delta's website and Twitter account. Flight cancellations are going to occur early, mainly this morning. Hopefully by afternoon, they say, all of the flights will be back to normal operation. The airline had to cancel 775 flights yesterday after about 1,000 were canceled the day before. Delta lost about 1% yesterday on the markets. Their shares are down this morning as well. And this has all forced the CEO of Delta, Ed Bastian, to issue another apology to customers of his airline. Here he is.
This isn't who we are. This isn't the quality of service and the reliability that you've come to expect from Delta Airlines.
Again, about 775 flights canceled this morning. if you're looking for a job, and it's we have to note that most of the people who have been looking for jobs are finding them, at least according to the latest jobs report, you should know that there are experts who say some really simple mistakes out there that people make may prevent you from getting that job. ABC News correspondent Daria Albringer reports.
You thought you aced the interview, but someone else got the job. Well, there could be a lot of reasons why. But Career Builder's Jennifer Grass says it could have come down to your thank you letter. You know, the one you didn't send.
This is one of the most important steps in job hunting because it enables you to reiterate why you're the best fit for the job. It also shows appreciation of the company's time.
Grass also reminds you to personalize your resume and your cover letter for each prospective employer. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
It's going to become even more important now as more people are buoyed by jobs numbers and get back into the actively looking for a job. People who haven't done that, you can find more about that at the Career Builder website at careerbuilder.com. Federal Trade Commission is looking into anti-Zika virus claims on some of the big bug repellents. ABC's Mark Remillard's been following that story.
The FTC has put 10 companies on warning about using anti-Zika claims in advertising on products claiming to keep mosquitoes at bay. Companies have been using anti-Zika claims on repellents, sprays, bands, and more as concerns over the disease continue to rise. The FTC says if they're going to make those claims, they need to be backed up with legal scientific proof. Sue Byrne is with Consumer Reports.
Products that contain the right percentage of Bicaridin or DEET were the most effective at preventing bites.
A half dozen other companies have changed their advertising after receiving cease and desist letters. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
If you were on the edge about deleting your Facebook account, this might push you over the edge. Facebook has announced it's going to block ad blockers. That's right, block ad blockers on the desktop version of its service, saying well-made relevant ads can be useful. At the same time, the world's biggest social media company says it's giving users easier ways to decide what types of ads they want to see, unless, of course, the answer is none. You do have to see ads. Ad blockers filter out ads by refusing to display images that originate from a known server. Facebook has found a way around that. And starting yesterday, the desktop version of Facebook shows users ads, even if they have blockers installed. The changes do not affect the mobile Facebook ad, which brings in the bulk of the company's advertising revenue. Just a couple more notes again on what we're looking for in the day ahead on our calendar. The big economic report coming out today, the Labor Department releases its jobs, openings, and labor turnover survey for June this morning. May, of course, that bad month. June bounced back. We'll see if they did the same in July. And that's coming out a bit later on this morning. A couple big earnings reports, too, that could drive the markets, but nothing major expected today.